political system is fundamentally complementary. What I mean is that if we have an efficient method to estimate parameters of a dynamical system, we can use that information to do optimal control, to drive that system to a particular target state or unitary. On the other hand, if we have good control over the dynamics of or state of the system, we can essentially drive it to any desired state or dynamics. So even in principle, we don't have to do any process estimation or state estimation. But of course, this is not really easy. In quantum mechanics, we have this problem that certain parameters that we want to estimate do not usually commute with the observer that we want to control. We all know here that process homography provides a generic solution to this, to estimate parameters of a given quantum map. But it's not really clear how we can use this information for control. And we had, during this week, we had lots of questions that really, what does this chi-MN even means in what physical information it contains. In context with control, if you want to really perform optimal quantum control, most of this mathematical formulation is in a Hamiltonian picture. So maybe we should just start to make the connection between process tomography and Hamiltonian estimation in a general setting. So trying to answer into these questions, we noticed that we can, in general, express our knowledge about the quantum system by a pure state or a mixed state. And the dynamics in case of closed system expressed by Schrodinger equation. And for open system, it's a mass equation. But we have Heisenberg picture, so we can understand the dynamics of the system by monitoring the certain observables. So we can write the Schrodinger equation for the unitary that describes the evolution of system. But the question is that, is there a Heisenberg picture for open system? What I mean is that, do we have really a dynamical equation describing the process matrix evolution? And if such a question exists, does it lead us to new ways of monitoring or controlling quantum system? So this is the outline of my talk. I'm going to first describe how we can develop that such equation, and then make a connection between process tomography and Hamiltonian estimation, and show how, in certain regime, for local Hamiltonians, we can do this efficiently in short time scale, and making a connection to quantum control for general decoherence suppression. And in the second part of my talk, I'm going to talk about a particular process tomography scheme that we developed that you can estimate set parameters of superoperator directly. And showing that using that method, you can estimate error probabilities efficiently. And if time permits, I'm going to talk about how we can do this with faulty preparation and measurement. So I'm sure that none of you need an introduction to quantum maps. I just want to emphasize that both density operator and superoperator are positive Hermitian. So you can talk about the off-diagonals and diagonals as coherence and populations for either state or process matrix. So this is a list of a few quantum process tomography schemes that provide full characterization. So I don't think that I need to add anything more at this point. So we assume that we can do process tomography. The question is that what can we do with the knowledge that we obtain from that process tomography? So in order to address this question, we started with writing the Schrodinger equation and expanding unitary and Hamiltonian over the operator basis. And these operator basis generally satisfy this commutation relation. And using the definition for superoperator, we arrived as this. It's not working. We arrived at this mass equation, which here, this H tilde is a linear combination of Hamiltonian parameters. And you know these coefficients by choosing a basis. So you can write this in this compact form if you introduce this generalized commutator notation. This becomes a standard commutator if A and B operators are Hermitian. So if you have a method to do process tomography, and you do that on two different sub ensemble at time t and t plus delta t, you can solve this equation for d squared independent parameters of the Hamiltonian. Okay.
So I as a super operator, right? It's
okay.
Is H tilde? It's a Hamiltonian. Is it a Hamiltonian on a larger system, or?
No. This is the Hamiltonian of the system. Okay. Uh-huh. And this is just a basis.
Yeah.
And the H tilde Mn is related to this Hamiltonian parameter by these coefficients, which are a property of the basis.
But H tilde is not Hermitian.
No.
Okay. But it is a matrix, a D by D matrix that acts on the system's Hilbert space.
Mm-hmm. En's an operator basis.
That's it's
okay.
A D.
Okay, so H tilde is indexed by M and N, so it is actually a super operator, not a.
Yeah, it has extra D's, like it generally it has D to 4 parameters, but in.
Okay.
So this is like we are parameterizing it in a larger Hilbert space, and that actually, we had some discussion with Robert that says like it actually might improve the convex optimization.
Sure, okay.
I mean, if you're using standard indices, M would be two indices. That's why it's a little bit.
M is two indices?
Well, if you in the second line on the left, UT, you've expanded an operator in a basis with one index. It's fine, as long as you realize.
Yeah, it's
usually we expand it in terms of matrix indices.
Oh, okay, no, this is operator. Everything is in neural space. The next question would be, so this is for closed system, and so you want to know if there is possible cases that you can do this efficiently. So we tried to investigate this, and the first thing that we did is to explore the short-time behavior of the superoperator. We expanded, and up to term t-cube, we have this nice structure here that except this person's column and row, you see that the chi and n are proportional to am, hm, hn star. And so if the Hamiltonian is a sparse, and if you know the number of non-zero terms and the location of these terms, you can essentially use this approach to estimate the Hamiltonian parameters in an efficient manner, because the overall number of these become a polynomial function of the Hilbert space dimension. As an example, you can consider exchange interaction Hamiltonian that there are sparse, so you do not have all these operator bases in the Hamiltonian expansion. But in general, you do not know really these coefficients, the values of them. So any process tomography scheme that allows you to selectively or directly measuring this chi mn, you can do this efficiently. And this is the case for both direct characterization of quantum dynamics and selective and efficient quantum process tomography that von Pavlov presented a couple of days ago. But obviously, still, in this case, a standard process tomography scheme is inefficient. So now the next question is that how we can generalize this to open quantum system. So you can write the Hamiltonian open system in this form, which SSB, system bus Hamiltonian, represented in this way. And the lambda or system bus coupling, which generally are time dependent. If you do the math, you arrive at a similar equation for time variation of superoperator in interaction picture. So here I assume that you know the system and bus Hamiltonian, and so you can go to interaction picture. But this Hamiltonian is unknown. So here this H tilde is a linear combination of the system bus coupling. And these coefficients are all known from system Hamiltonian and Bass Hamiltonian and the basis chosen. You should know that this K matrix is not exactly chi matrix, but it has the same information. This in chi matrix, this I and J are equal, and we have a summation over I. That's the difference. So Then even using this equation, you can do process tomography to determine K and solver to generally to characterize the parameter of system bus coupling. And I should mention here that this is, there is no perturbative assumption here. So this is a, in a strong coupling and non-Markovian regime. So whenever you have a dynamical equation, that suggests a way for controlling the system. And so we try to explore that. So in optimal quantum control, generally you're interested to derive a quantum system from an initial state psi I to psi f. And you do that by using this Schrodinger equation and trying to maximize or minimize the yield or cost function. And usually you do a variational calculus to find the optimal external field that can achieve that. You can also do this for, you know, dynamics. You can use this Schrodinger equation in this form. It's proposed by Paolo Kotzloff. And so you can do a similar approach to drive this, to drive the dynamical system to a particular target unitary. So we thought, you know, maybe we should do that for just to drive a quantum system to a target superoperator or process matrix. And the most interesting case, I think, would be to try to control the coherence. And so ideally, you wish to have a system that doesn't interact with the environment. So if the, all the system bus coupling are zero, the H tilde should be zero. And this is our notation for identity superoperator. But in realistic situation, you always have a non-zero system bus coupling. And so you want to use an external control field, like a laser pulse, to drive the system to a regime which is, has an effective the coherence which is less than the original one. And this mu is an operator of the system, such as, you know, for molecules equipped like a dipole moment. So we want to maximize this yield function, which is the fidelity of the process matrix at time capital T, to be identity superoperator. So if you use a variational calculus here and introduce Lagrange multipliers, you arrive at this optimal pulse, which here, this K can be obtained by a process tomography. And this Lagrange multiplier, it's given by this equation. So in principle, you can solve this to find the optimal pulse at any given time t. So if the Hamiltonian is time dependent, you have to measure to do the process tomography and Hamiltonian estimation over different time, and you do a time sampling to try to have a picture of the system bus Hamiltonian, try to do use this for control. But in next part of my talk, I'm going to talk about a particular process tomography scheme that you can do this estimate this Hamiltonian superoperator parameters directly. This is a different method that Juan Pablo presented. It works better for diagonals, but it's not as good for off-diagonal elements of superoperator. So this is the general, just the summary of the scheme for a single qubit. You need to prepare four input states, and always you do a Bellestein measurement. And in each experimental configuration, you obtain four parameters of superoperator. So in a spirit, this is like a similar to unselected process tomography, because you need an auxiliary system with the same dimension to prepare this input states and perform the Bellestein measurement. So in order to explain this in more detail, you know, I need to provide a brief summary of error detection. And I think Daniel is going to talk about how to measure a stabilizer state efficiently later this afternoon. So it's not really a bad introduction. So in, you know, in quantum error detection, you want to encode information in a larger Hilbert space with some redundancy, that if certain class of error happens, you can detect that unambiguously. So, you know, the most famous class are stabilizer code, that it's a subspace of Hilbert space of n qubits, which has eigenvalue plus one under an action of a given abelian subgroup of n qubit polygroup. So any state in this subspace is eigenketoff stabilizer generator with eigenvalue plus 1. So, and this stabilizer generator generates this group, which is a subgroup of Pauli group. If you do error detection, all you need to do is to just measure this stabilizer generator. And if there is a particular error which anti-commutes with a given stabilizer generator, you get a minus 1. And so by having this different combination of plus and minus 1, you can detect these errors. So the state of system collapses into these orthogonal subspaces, each one associated with a particular error. But we have also this degenerate code that after error detection, you collapse to these orthogonal subspaces, but each one has a degeneracy between a subset of error operators. So in my scheme, like in most of the cases, you use this degenerate code. So in order to measure the quantum dynamical population of diagonal element of superoperator, you prepare maximally entangled state, and then you apply the unknown maps to system A, and you do Bell state measurements. This collapses the state of system into 4 orthogonal subspaces. If you calculate the probabilities of these outcomes, you arrive at this exactly each outcome becomes related to a particular diagonal element of superoperator. So you can obtain 4 of them in a single experimental configuration. And this is maximum you can do in this Hilbert space, because otherwise you violate the Hollow-Bobo map, because you have, you know, d squared outcome. Now the question is how we do, how to measure off-diagonal elements, because it looks that we're collapsing the state in always the diagonal elements of superoperator. The trick is to use a degenerate stabilizer code, which, for example, here, if alpha and beta are not equal, we have only a single stabilizer operator. And right now, any operator that can be expanded over identity and sequence Z has eigenvalue plus 1. And any operator that can be expanded as a linear combination of X and Y has eigenvalue minus 1. So there is no way you can distinguish between them. So if you apply the unknown maps and measure the stabilizer generator, you collapse into these 2 orthogonal subspaces. You see here that the coherence between identity and sigma z and also between x and y is preserved. Then you calculate these probabilities, and each one of outcome contains information only a single of diagonal elements of superoperator, although you need to know the diagonal elements, which you can do it with a single measurement. So this is not the end of it. You can also measure a normalizer such as XX and calculate the joint property distribution of a stabilizer and normalizer to get 2 other off-diagonal elements. But this is nothing but a Bell state measurement. The only things you do is that you consider a different linear combination of outcomes, you know, for you here have this physical meaning. So in summary, you do a stabilizer measurement, calculating these probabilities, calculating the joint property distributions, and you estimate 4 independent parameters of diagonal elements. So I've already explained how to measure this and this. But if you want to do full characterization, you have to rotate the input state. And always you do the Bell state measurement. So this is like the measurement part is a fixed device. But for preparation, you have to rotate the state of the principal system to be belong to a mutual unbiased spaces. Yeah.
You set this condition that alpha and beta are not equal to one another and not equal to 0. So you just choose a particular value of alpha and beta that satisfy that and then use it for all of the elements, or do you want to vary?
Yeah. Good question. It's not, you know, this is the condition to get, you know, some information, but it's not obviously optimal. I will talk about how to find the optimal alpha and beta. So this is just the condition, because if they are equal, you get some of the outcomes are 0. You get no information. So essentially, you are not using this support of an extended Hilbert space anymore. So we propose the experimental realization using linear optics. I think everybody knows what it is. This is a fundamental interferometer. And this has been already demonstrated in 3 different groups. But this has 50% efficiency at maximum. And if you use a hyper-independent ballistic analyzer, you can, in principle, even go to 100% efficiency, which is, this is currently, and their experiment is they're collecting data in called Fourier group. So before relaxing this ballistic preparation measurement conditions, I'm going to briefly mention generalization to higher dimension because it's very easy to understand. You have to just use an operator basis in a large Hilbert space with this orthonormal condition. And then each operator can be written as a a product of this generalized poly operator X and Z. And this is the root D of the unity. And these operators are like that, that if you choose a basis that diagonalizes one of them, the other one shifts their basis up. And they satisfy this anti-commutation relation. So in order to characterize the diagonal elements, you just prepare a maximal entangled state. You measure to a stabilizer operator. And then you perform, so this is correspond to this projective measurement. And you collapse into this state. And if you calculate the joint property distribution of to this stabilizer operator, you obtain this diagonal element directly. And this is like, you know, this squared information, this squared independent outcome that we can get, which is maximal in this experimental setting. For measuring of diagonals, you prepare a non-maximal entangled state, which has a single stabilizer operator. If you measure this operator, you collapse into its orthogonal subspaces, which you preserve some coherence between certain of diagonal elements of super operator. But here the problem is that you have more than, like, you know, this is not a single of diagonal element. But in general, you have this squared outcome, which is optimal. But here in this slide, I want to show how you can do this to measure the probabilities of k-qubit errors. So, for example, in this kind of notation, the chi 0,0 represents an identity operator acting on the state of system. This could be a quantum computer representing the state of a quantum computer, for example. And the chi 1,1 representing a single bit flip error on the first qubit. And you can just consider all of these until you have, like, all, for example, phase group errors on multi errors on all qubits. And the number of terms, if you are interested in k qubit errors or less, is a polynomial function of the dimension of Hilbert space. So you can do this efficiently if you are concentrating on a polynomial number of these elements. So also you can do efficient estimation of certain non-sparse Hamiltonians in short time scale. So if you have a Hamiltonian that can be expanded in this form, which this operator expansion can be written as a product of two different bases, which k is running up to d and l up to root d. By this single stabilizer operator, if you prepare this eigenvalue state and then apply the Hamiltonian only to system A, you can estimate all these parameters in a single experimental configuration. Although, in order to build the statistics, you have to repeat it on an exponential number of copies, which is not efficient. But if the L is fixed, then essentially this operator have different anti-commutation relation with this stabilizer for different k, for d different outcomes. And so you collapse into one of these d detectors. So you can selectively consider any of this polynomial number of these in a selective and efficient manner. So this is a kind of, you know, alternative to Juan Pablo approach for efficient estimation of off-diagonal elements of a process. As an example, we worked out a case that you want to measure only two parameters of a process, which is like solid state systems. You know, you can consider the T1 and T2. This is a Markov process, not a general quantum map. In order to do that, you prepare this maximal entangled state, and you do a ballistic state measurement, and you can measure T1 and T2 in a single experimental configuration on the same ensemble. So we also relax this condition of ballistic state preparation measurement. Suppose you don't have that, and you have certain correlated input state and correlated measurements. This could be the result of a faulty ballistic preparation, which you generally know it's a which kind of faulty preparation you have. For example, you have a mixed state of a ballistate and identity. So you can factorize this imperfect ballistic preparation into an ideal one and a known EI map and also the ballistic measurements as like a error EF and an ideal ballistic analyzer. And then we showed that the difference is that here you're essentially dealing with a different input states, rho tilde MN, which you can expand it over a ballistic basis. And if you do the math, you arrive at this, that this is the experimental outcomes, which becomes related to this unknown superoperator. And these coefficients are all known from input states and faulty, if you know which kind of systematic errors you have in your preparation and measurements. We represented these elements of superoperator in a vector. And this lambda matrix has all the information about error maps and input states. And you can obtain the characterize the superoperator by just inverting this. So this is the condition for this error, such that this process tomography to be possible. So if this is not invertible, you cannot do that. But this should be pretty very loose condition. So you can use this to find the optimal input sets that answering your question. So all you need to do is to maximize this determinant of this lambda. And each of these four rows of this super kind of matrix representing a particular preparation. So this is the first preparation that you measure the diagonal elements. And these are the off-diagonal elements. This is for an ideal direct characterization. So you see that this matrix is very sparse. And so you can find this optimal input state for this kind. But if you have errors, of course, you lose this kind of directness to some degree. So you have more non-zero terms in this lambda matrix. So there's a cost if you cannot prepare your ballistic efficiently.
Is non-invertible depends only on the channel, or if you change the sampling, the inputs, then you make it invertible.
I think for certain error, input error and output error should not be possible to find states, but we haven't explored that. That's a good question. I don't know that if you can always find, but I think in principle, in practice, the number of cases that you cannot invert this map should be like measure zero, because it just always you have to rotate a little bit then put the state to find it. But
you are talking about linear inversion, so it is non-invertible in the linear sense. But the point is that in statistical sense, you may always invert. The only problem is that you will get ambiguity. So it's not only this solution, but also a class of solutions which are equally, let's say, variable.
But you know, if this is invertible, these are linear independent outcomes. But statistically they could be really bad. This is the most statistically, if you can prepare ballistic preparation measurements, perfectly, this is what you have to invert, and that's pretty good. So we showed some specific cases you might face in reality, the depolarizing noise. And in those cases, suppose you prepare this in an imperfect ballistic, mixed state of identity and bell, a particular ballistic basis, and the measurement could be 42. And in these cases, the calculations are actually very simple. You have to just divide it over this number that you know, and subtract it and divide it over this. And even if you have a more generalized depolarizing noise, you can also modify your data analysis to accommodate for those errors. There are some applications and possible future forks. So this is the dynamical equation that we developed could potentially provide application in open loop learning control of quantum Hamiltonian system. In principle, one can use big measurements to perform this process tomography schemes, and then you can have a real-time feedback control. One can use this for efficient verification of collected errors for quantum computers. And also, it would be very interesting to develop this for exploring the existence of decoherence free subspaces. So you can just look at two different lambda, I and j, and say if they are equal or not. In those are system-based coupling. So you can explore the symmetries of system-based coupling using this approach. And also, because I'm working also in quantum transport, I'm going to apply this to develop a method for studying energy transport in non-Markovian and a strong interacting regimes. So because of that, we are trying to connect the process tomography to a standard spectroscopy in order to make the experimentally relevant. And thanks for your attention.
A question of application. One of the themes that came up over and over was the ability to explore non-Markovian processes. And of course, if you just do a single process tomography, then Markovian or not Markovian doesn't make any sense. But when you look at a family of processes, right, in this Hamiltonian picture, that's a big deal. But when I have non-Markovian noise, I might also expect that I would have initial correlations, simply for the reason that my initial state is probably, a little bit into the dynamics. And so I would also expect to perhaps see what appear to be non-CP or non-linear processes. Do you think that we need, if we're going to look at non-Markovian stuff, are we also going to have to consider non-CPness? Because that's going to raise the problems for
So, I think I have to modify your question a little bit. I think I understand what you want to say, but I think the point is that first, you can, in principle, explore the non-Markovian feature of a single process. You have to just try it on an ensemble of systems. You don't need an ensemble. I don't know what you meant. And the other thing is that you can have a non-Markovian system, which is CP map. Non-Markovian is a subclass of CP map. But if your question is that, can we do this for non-CP map? I don't know the answer to that question. So this is, we assume this is like, we started with that you can start at certain time with uncorrelated state of system and environment. But in principle, the direct characterization of the superoperator in our approach using ballistic preparation measurements is possible to generate a non-CP map. Two students at Sudarshan Group are working on that now. So, but we don't have final data on that. But so far, we think that you can characterize non-CP map using this scheme. But for our dynamical equation, we do not assume anything except Schrodinger equation in larger Hilbert space, pretty much. So that, we have no approximation. It's just a general method. But, the actual question is that when you can actually efficiently solve this equation, which is, we find a few examples, but I'm pretty sure there are more.
Maybe your question was more, maybe a different question or a comment. Still, I think it's open. If your question is this process Markovian or not? So you want to answer that. You have a superoperator, some evolution produced. Is Markovian or is not? So
this is definitely not Markovian.
I know. But how do you know whether it is Markovian?
That
you have to measure in order to efficiently measure to show that this is Markovian process or is a non-Markovian process.
Okay, so
would be some
one of the things you can do, that's a good question. Okay, so one you can do in order to see, you can measure T1 and T2, and then if they're decreasing exponentially.
You should talk to one. That wasn't my question.
Okay. So I don't know, maybe I misunderstood. So in a way you can measure in principle T1, T2 and see if they you have an exponential decrease in the value. And if they do not satisfy that model, it means that the Markov model is not a good one. But we are working on a measure of defining what is this non-Markovianness in this system using this approach.
How much?
Yeah, exactly. This is a much interesting. So having a measure for non-Markovianness, we have ideas how to do it. But we don't have a final result on that one too. So, but yeah, that's very good things. You know, if you have a measure for non-Markovianness and so like, and you can measure a quantum system. So this is in this category. It is a little bit non-Markovian, but not too much.
How would such measure look like? Correlation length, time correlation?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly. But
the comment, there is a paper, one of the authors, CDK, by Emerson and the Korean collaborators, which this is addressing the concept of the symmetrization method, symmetrized characterization of quantum dynamics. And the idea is to gather information about the spectral, so the eigenvalues of the superoperator. Then you run the superoperator for time t, and then for half of the time, and check if the eigenvalues are squared. Basically, that's sort of half idea. But to do that is very, the idea is how do you get this information efficient? You don't want to diagonalize the whole
superoperator.
So it's not efficient. But there is some.
Yeah, I mean that's a science paper that they have a method for that, and Martin Pleniel also recently explored this kind of non-Markovian things in the context of quantum transport, deep edging assisted transport, similar approach to what we have. So it was like but they explored non-Markovian dynamics as well. Yeah.
So if there are no more questions, we thank Francis again.